podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the Anfield Wrap. It's Neil Atkinson in a happy room, it is fair to say, produced by Andy Heaton and Ash O'Rourke. I've got Neil Docking, I've got Ian Ryan, and I've got John Gibbons. Now, listen, the club's done a really strong statement after the Paris Independent report come out. Do check it out there. It's good to see Liverpool going in two-footed on that occasion. Also, we've done a free show about it with Dan Austin. That is also available right now for free. Do share it with people and so on and so forth, but obviously make sure you're in the right mental space for it as it comes all the way through. The Anfield Wrap this week is, as it has been in previous weeks, in association with Access Sport, Access Sport Colleges. And this week, we're discussing the fact that Access Sport College, who we're delighted to partner with, it's a national sport training provider focused on giving students the best possible opportunity to get a future in the sports industry. There's professional clubs and academies across the country, and they're proud to power the Marine AFC football education programme for students aged 16 to 19 in and around the Liverpool and Crosby area, around by ours. It is based at the home of Marine, the Marine Travel Arena, and students have got a unique opportunity to study for a future career in the sport with a professional football environment while developing as players to the highest ability on the pitch. The programme is student pathways alongside a level 2 and 3 qualification, and it combines practical learning with professional analysis technologies such as VO, player tech, coach session planner, and so on and so forth. Learning within that environment provides the opportunity to gain a range of career and industry experiences, including community coaching, physio, sports media, and event management, and so on. Professional development sessions are in there, and there's progression to university, US scholarships, apprenticeships, and so on and so forth. It's training every day alongside education, and players are supported in the development of their overall skills, technical ability, and athletic potential, along with that educational aspect as well. It's a highly competitive environment. If you know anyone who will be interested in this, any families who will be interested in this, for more information on it, powered by Access Sport at Marine, go to www.accesssport.ac.uk/TAW. As I have said before, the three S's in the middle makes it look weird, but persevere, it is right. It's the word access, and then it's the word sport, so there should be three S's. So it's accesssport.ac.uk/TAW to register your your interest from there. Our interest is very much invested in Liverpool too. Everton nil and John Gibbons, I will go to you first. I'm not being facetious here. I'm really not being facetious. It felt like a run-of-the-mill victory against a side who are 18th. But obviously, simultaneously, it's much more significant. We've been poor. It is Everton. To be honest with you, my inner chimp was out to such an extent they've taken it to Knowsley Safari Park. It was an emotional experience, but in the cold light of day, Everton barely have a shot. Yes, they hit the post in the run-up to the opening goal, but Everton barely have a shot. I sent you all the race map on StatsBomb. Liverpool's expected goals is just shy of 2. Everton's is 0.2. Liverpool, it's what should happen when you play 18th at home.
Yeah, the one that hit the post is such a jolt, isn't it? That it almost sort of springs them into sort of greater action and they score straight away, because at that point they'd offered very little, you know, from an attacking threat. And although defensively they were doing okay, you know, you still felt that Liverpool would get the better of them eventually, and that's what they did. It's a goal either half. I thought, funny enough, I thought we were a bit flat coming out second half, and then they just sort of score straight away, and then it kills the game. And, you know, once they go 2-0, there's no chance to get them back into it because they hadn't shown anything. I think it's one shot on target, and either that's a bit of a limp effort. And you're right, they look like a team in bother, really. But we've drawn with and lost the teams down the bottom so yep. far this season, and so you need to put it in, you need to put the effort in, which they did, you need the application, and you need to take the chances, and Liverpool did all that, and it's fairly basic stuff, but it's basic stuff that we haven't seen, you know, quite a bit of this season. But well, listen, we saw it last night, and yeah, all good.
It's basic stuff. As John says, it genuinely is basic stuff, but we got it. We got the basic stuff. It came into our advantage. We were clinical when the opportunity was there as well. Neil, you know, the two really good finishes. They're still straightforward finishes. It was just great to see all round before you'd even get on to the nature of the opponent.
Yeah, normal football. No gifts in the first 10 minutes for the opposition. No
getting to 10-0-0 felt massive.
Yeah, no shooting ourselves in the foot. I've spent a lot of this season wondering whether we're the worst team that I'm going to see at Anfield this year. but I think it was answered yesterday. I mean, we put 9 past Bournemouth, but Everton were absolutely toothless, weren't they? Obviously, the entire game is in that 1 minute. Where their moment, they've hoped for a set piece. I think they'd had one corner before, hadn't they?
Yeah.
And it was funny enough, when the second one was given, I did feel it. You felt it in the pit of your stomach. You thought, this is what their entire game boils down to, whether they can score in this moment. And obviously, you see your life flash before your eyes. You're at a crossroads. It can go one way or the other, purgatory or heaven. And the way that you know, we all gasped. And you heard them all gasp. You know, ecstasy is in their mouths, isn't it? And then it just clenches shut with, what, 10 seconds, 12 seconds, I think it was. The ball's in the back of the net. Jordan Pickford on an island somewhere, lone, stranded, marooned, nowhere near where he should be. It was just, the moment that hit the back of the net, I thought we've won this game.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't see another way that they were going to create, fashion anything from open play. In the end, there is that one opportunity late on that Davies should do better with the header. It's a good ball by Iwobi. Trent perhaps loses a bit of focus, I think. He's not watching over his shoulder. Something that we've seen in the past, that ball to the back post. But other than that, at no stage did they look a threat. I mean, they're playing a young lad up front who's come in on loan. Come back from a loan, weeks ago. I mean, it says a lot about what he thinks about Neil Maupay, Sean Dyche, that he's gone with a kid up front. And they were just toothless, utterly toothless. And we've seen a lot of bad Everton teams at Anfield down the years, but they're right up there.
They are right up there. What did we like? What did we do differently, Ian? Because for me, it did feel... It felt more focused, as John said before. It did feel like nothing soft. It felt like that had just been the message all week. Nothing soft. We can't go through this again. That's, to me, the first thing that felt different before you'd even get into specific tactical shifts or changes. That's what I thought felt different.
Yeah, and it can sound really simplistic, can't it, when you talk about the basics, but you did see a lot of that. And it was good to see, because I think since the campaign started, you take it right back to Fulham, Palace, United comes after that. They were so far away from getting the basics right. They were making elementary mistakes where men weren't closing the opposition down. They weren't minimising space. There was a lack of aggression. And you saw the flip of that last night. I thought Liverpool were first to every ball, they were first to every second ball. They were physical. They were aggressive. They were on the front foot. All the stuff that you would associate with a Jurgen Klopp team, that's just been non-existent for the majority of the season. But last night it was. And I think to a man, everyone really... probably delivered their best performance in a number of months. And there's a lot of standouts, and we'll probably come on to them and stuff. But, you know, I think the team news was interesting because I think there was a lot of chat about whether he'd go with a Stefan Bajcetic because it was a Merseyside derby, because he played a lot of football, because he's 18 years of age, and he absolutely justifies his inclusion. It's an incredible performance from a young kid where you think lots can go wrong in that environment. We've seen it before with other footballers where things can just happen to you, the occasion can get to you. He handles it really well, but you'd also see a much different performance from the captain as well. He's all over the pitch. The manager calls him a pressing monster. I've been, as have others, critical of Jordan Henderson for a number of months because he's not been anywhere at it. I thought he was so much better last night. And then there's people like Joe Gomez. It's his best performance probably since Man City at home, and that was the 16th of October. So it's been a while. It's been coming. But he finally delivers a performance that you recognise from Joe Gomez. Matip's better as well. He has that shaky one in the first five and think, what the fucking hell's going on here? And he could have sent everyone a little bit west, but he recovers and it was just a million miles better, Neil.
Bajcetic is so impressive because he's being asked to do a different role. You know, he's come into the team as a number six effectively, and he's looked really assured in that position. I was interested to see the team out. You know, we did a little video, didn't we, before the game for social, and I was saying, I'll be interested to see how the midfield sort of lines up and what he has Bajcetic doing. But, you know, further up the pitch, he was just excellent. His calmness on the ball, you know, his energy, you know, he's winning it, but his passing, you know, the time he has, you know, you can give it to him under pressure. He's with a man on him, he's not bothered. He'll move away. The way he uses his body is a little bit Thiago-esque. And, you know, the manager, you know, the easy thing in the world to do is just to pick Keita, because Keita's done okay, hasn't he? He's been up and down like his whole Liverpool career, really, over the last sort of few weeks. But, you know, he's done okay. So the easy thing in the world would have been just to sort of to pick him, really, and to bring the experienced players back in and think, you know, I'm going to go with, you know, a bit of sort of tried and trusted, really. But he sticks with him. And, you know, it was interesting, Salah after the game saying he's been our best player since the World Cup, and shows how highly they're rating him. You know, they're not surprised he's starting a Merseyside derby seemingly, because they know sort of how good he's been. But he just goes up in new estimation a little bit more every week, doesn't he, in terms of his quality. And, you know, I was probably maybe a bit guilty last week of thinking like, oh, he's done all right now. But, you know, the serious business starts now. Get the grown-ups back on. Whereas now, well, you'd be shocked if he doesn't start against Real Madrid now. You're absolutely shocked. You're only taking him out on Saturday if you want to give him a rest. Really, that's the only reason. You know, he's, you know, you're building your midfield around him at the moment. You say it's him and two more. And that's crazy. You know, he was laughing after the game saying he was playing under-18s last year, and he just swerved the 23 straight in there, and he's been brilliant. But you know, he's taking it all in stride, he's enjoying it. He's some footballer.
I was guilty of the same thing, thinking that perhaps it was time to give him a rest. We don't want to burn him out. You know, we've seen sometimes that young players, they can play so well and then have a dip. I was really keen to see Henderson back in the team last night, and Fabinho. But like you said, the grown-ups, they'd both had a break, they both had a rest. And I thought that Naby would be the one filling in on the left-hand side, his preferred position. And I think it says a lot about where he is in the manager's mind at the moment that, again, he's not starting in a game like that. But Bajcetic's there on merit, and it's that combination of flair and steel that he's got. He can do some elements of what Wijnaldum gave us on that left-hand side. But also, as you say, the way he can just so composed, just almost walk out of a tight space. You know, he never looks flustered. I thought it was such a performance above his years. I mean, he was by far the best player on the pitch, I thought, last night. I thought what he gave us elevated us in midfield. But then around that was the fight that you touched upon, the fight and the leadership that we haven't been seeing. Jordan Henderson put in a level of performance at the World Cup that I think had a lot of Liverpool fans saying to everyone, well, go on, look, you know, that's what we've been telling you, that's what he can bring. And then we've not really seen that. And he's had this time out of the team. And I thought Jordan came back in and was, as you said, the best version of himself at pressing monster, cajoling, coercing, raising everyone's game around him. I thought Fabinho grew into the game as it went on. But the leadership that was shown from, you know, our key players, from Andy Robertson, from Henderson. From Salah, yeah, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. And moving on to Salah, that combination on the right-hand side, that's been the thing for me all season, is that how they just look like strangers. And all of a sudden, you've got Salah, you've got Henderson, you've got Trent. The combinations are right. They know where each other are. The instinctive stuff.
Comes from,
yeah. And all of a sudden, even in the first 15 minutes, Salah looked more of a threat to me than he has for the last couple of months, really. So we looked much more akin to the Liverpool that we recognise. And I think a big part of that was our leaders stepping up. But then, as I say, combined with a kid who really is just, you know, showing us all what he can do.
I agree with Gibbo. I think the manager deserves loads of credit for playing him last night, because it would have been easy just to default to a more experienced guy. And I think when I got in last night, I put some of the Sky stuff on, and even Carragher was saying he was surprised just to see him. He just thought automatically he'd probably go for someone with an older head because of the nature of the game and stuff. And I think the manager's taken a little bit, probably more than a little bit of criticism at times this season. And I think some of it's justified and some of it's fair. And
yeah,
even on some,
I think he thinks that as well.
Yeah, and Neil, we've done, you know, some of the pre-match stuff, and I've asked you at times, what do you think the manager would give himself out of 10? And I think you've been around 4, 5, maybe 6 at times. And I think he's probably his own biggest critic as well. And I think you've seen that in the build-up to the game, where he's spoken about, and it's a measure of the man, really, where he's spoken about himself. And when Liverpool are doing well, he frames it as he's doing a small part, which we know is nonsense, because the manager is the most important person at the football club, bar none. I'd see them all go before the manager. He is the most important person at the football club. But then when it's going badly, he frames it as he takes 100% responsibility for it. And that's great leadership. That's what you want to see from a manager. And that's why he is the man he is. And I think it would have been easy last night to do something different with the team. But I almost think that he's sending a bit of a message as well to some people. And it's a meritocracy here. And I think if you are performing well, you get to stay in the side. And I think it's a balancing act, because you've got to obviously look after the lad and his young tender years. And you don't want to give him too much too soon. But I thought it was imagine the confidence boost he's got from playing in that game. You can only imagine how he's feeling this morning. You could see in his interview last night, he was made up. Salah's giving him all applaudits as well. So he's gone on a bit of a journey that maybe none of us saw coming, because we didn't know loads about him. But I agree with John now. If you're picking a Liverpool team, you're going into Newcastle next week, he is absolutely nailed on. And I think, you know, there'll be a bit of a, probably there'll be tougher times for him to come, because he's a young player, and we've got to understand that at times there will be difficult games, and people will maybe have more of a focus on him and more of an eye on him, because that will come as you start to play more games for this club. But what a start to his career. What a start. And in a position that he's not used to as well. Nobody talked after the game, of course, about, you know, he's been a centre-half by trade, and then he comes in as a midfielder, and all of a sudden they play him in an 8. Testament to him.
he's that good. He gets to 18, you're like, oh, I hope he takes him off so we can give him a big clap. And he does, and he gets the big clap, and like, I made up for him, and he sort of saunters off, doesn't he? Like he's just on the playground or something brilliant.
His attire is nailed. He's nailed attire, it's worth saying. They should bring out a range of, just for him. I'd buy that 100%. John, I want to talk about this notion. You know, Ian there mentions meritocracy. But one of the things about meritocracy is, you know, I think all of us around this table and everyone listening at some point would have said, well, I can't pick 11 of them on meritocracy at the moment. And I think there's this conflict, and you got to see it last night. There's two clear examples, but I think Gomez is an example as well. There's meritocracy, there's performing well, and there's confidence. And the confidence comes when you do something good and you get the reward. And I think you get to see it especially in Salah and Gakpo. I think they both look like different. I think they're both involved and they're both doing all right. And then from the minute each of them scores, the rest of the match just looks so much more easy for them, so much more straightforward for them. I thought they both played so well after they scored a goal.
Yeah, Salah's always been a bit like that. Ever since he's come, really, when he gets a goal, he just seems to, you know, glide a little bit more, relax a little bit more. Sometimes if he hasn't scored, he snatches at his shots a bit. He's always been a better player for Liverpool, I think.
I think he thinks he doesn't. I think he thinks he isn't contributing if he isn't scoring. It's as simple as that. He could do everything else perfectly, but I think, you know, I always remember the Brighton away last year when there was a lot of the contract stuff was coming to a head, and he's a bit of a wreck. Yeah. Well, to be honest, and then he gets the pen and he scores, and it's like he gets to go, all right, I've done my bit now for you. We can all calm down again. It is. And you are right. I think if he's not scoring, he doesn't feel like he's contributing.
Yeah, and it's a strange one, but on Gakpo, you know. You mentioned there about, you know, the idea of meritocracy and stuff like that. Like, I mean, if you're picking a team on that, you could probably argue he doesn't get in the team. And so he does need to look at other things, Jürgen. You know, it's not just, well, who's playing the best? You know, Elliot's had a better month than him. He's got a couple of goals. He gets, you know, the worldie at Wolves. And so if you're picking on merit and on recent form, you're probably putting Elliot in. But it's a bit more complex than that, isn't it? You know, the manager needs to think about his end game. He needs to think about where they want to get to. You know, he probably is thinking about Madrid, you know, already, and thinking, well, what team do I want to play in that game, and what's my best chance of beating them, and how do I get those lads, you know, into form, really? And I think this game was a little bit of that. And so he goes for the three of them, and he gets his reward because two of them score. Nunes obviously gets the brilliant assist for Salah, where he's great and he's dangerous all night, and then he's able to go. I think it's the first time they've looked like a proper front three. I think, you know, there's other games where, you know, individually they've had sort of decent moments or whatever, but I think it's the first time where, you know, they've linked up well with each other. It's starting to make more and more sense, and that's what a manager needs to do, and that's why a manager needs to stick with it and not just go, well, I'm good. You know, it's easier to pick Elliot. He's got me a couple of goals. He'll run around a lot. I'll pick him. But if this is where he wants to get to, then he has had to sort of stick with it a little bit, and his reward last night.
I said on the show on Thursday, we did the pre-match stuff, I said if I could pick one player to score in the derby, Gakpo. And I think you see almost the weight off his shoulders when he gets the goal.
He looks literally faster afterwards. Why does he look literally faster?
Just completely jumps up. And I don't think he was doing anything bad, by the way, but you can just see the weight of the world suddenly comes off him. And I think the manager would have been aware of that. And he'll also have been aware, derby or not, they're the third worst team in the league on current form. And it presents an opportunity for him to get off the mark against the third worst team in the league. And that's what you see. And I think now, maybe you just see a different version of this footballer. Because I agree with John, in a weird way, you do almost see him suddenly get away from his man. And I know at times it was people like Coleman, who's not the quickest, but he did look like he had another burst of energy and stuff. And I think you can almost see, and again, they talked a little bit about it, of course, when I got back last night, about where he may end up. And there was they were mentioning about midfield, and could he maybe play in a slightly deeper role when Liverpool start to get more of the forwards back, and if they want to try and get them all in. You could see a scenario where he is playing slightly deeper and bursting from midfield, because he does look after the ball really well. He is really good in possession. And I think Liverpool have been, when they've recruited, I think they've looked at that. I think you see it with Diaz, looks after the football incredibly well, very rarely gives it away. Decision-making is on point. Same with Gakpo, looks after it. Really good decision-making. And as we've said on previous shows, he's come into a poor side, so you've got to allow for that. You've got to allow for that adjustment period. Thought he was really good.
Yeah, I think there's been encouraging signs over a few games with Gakpo in that false nine position. But it's sort of, we've all been either damning him with faint praise, saying he's neat and tidy. That's the thing people keep saying to me. He's neat and tidy. Or people have just been saying he's crap. And it's mad to make that assessment. We've been blessed with forwards coming in and just hitting the ground running. Under Jürgen, Mane, Salah, Jota, Diaz. They've all arrived and been brilliant from the get-go. But all of them have come into a good or a great football team. You probably have to go back to Firmino. Firmino came into a team that was struggling, really struggling. He was struggling to find his position in his team, his place in the team. The manager was struggling at the time, struggling to work out what was best 11, what his plan was. And I think there's been some parallels with Jürgen chopping and changing, trying different approaches. Last night, it looked to me like we had a clear plan. The front three knew what the clear plan was. And as you say, when the goal goes in, suddenly we're seeing his ability in tight spaces to turn, to suddenly show a burst of pace that people have said he hasn't got, to drive forward. And then he's got two, you know, greyhounds. He's got, well, a horse. He's got a horse on one flank. He's got Nunez galloping down the flank. And then you've got, you know, the absolute Ferrari, Salah on the other flank. You see a plan and you see how this can work. And you see how it can work with the other forwards that we have as well. You see how it can work with those who are still to return. So I think it's madness to draw too many conclusions on him so far. I mean, obviously, we can't go overboard from last night. But I think, as you said, John, the manager, at some point he has to say, this is my plan and this is what we're working towards. And it seems with Gakpo, he's sort of nailed his colours to the mast. And he said, this is what I'm aiming for and we're going to integrate him into the team and then we'll have a functioning forward unit. And I think he should be a big part of that. I think he should be involved in the next two games. I'd definitely be starting the same three as we stand against Madrid.
Yeah, his retention of the ball is really strong. And in a way, when he dribbles, he reminds me a little bit of Suarez. He's not as skillful as Suarez, of course, but Suarez was never lightning. But I remember a goal in the Merseyside derby, actually, where he goes through one-on-one and the defender's nearly getting there, and yeah. Then he scores. Do you know what I mean? And so he was never one to burst away, Suarez. But when he dribbled, he was just able to shift his body a little bit or just keep ahead of a defender. And Gakpo, he dribbles a little bit like that, really. He's not bursting away from someone like a Nunez or galloping away, as Neil beautifully put it. But he's just doing enough to get ahead, just doing enough, and he's keeping the ball and he's dangerous, and it's an asset really, because you know you need to be able to feel like you can knock it up to someone and they can keep it. And you know, he's got his height as well, so he was winning a few more headers. I thought last night there's one where he flicks on and we nearly sort of get in from it, and he's just growing in confidence, but just starting to use his skills a little bit more for the benefits of the team. And listen, like we've all said, that goal's going to do him a world of good.
He breaks the pace for the first goal. I mean, he's right in the position where Jordan Pickford thinks he should be.
He's in his head, isn't he?
For that cross.
I mean, God knows what's going on in his head, but Cody Gakpo seemed to be there.
And again, for the second, he's done really well, hasn't he? To, you know,
striker's goal.
He's racing up, isn't he? Racing up, and then he's held it behind the line. And then, I mean, how sweet Connor Cody forgetting to look. Connor Cody just leaving it for him on a plate, hoping he's not there.
Top red.
Unlucky lad.
Seamus Coleman slept well last night, by the way, coming up against Darwin for 90 minutes or however long Darwin was on the pitch for. I bet he'll have been made up when he went off because there was a lot of having to turn around and sprint. For us at the back, Ian, you mentioned before about Gomez. I think you said it's his best performance in City at home, and I would agree with you. I think it's important that he's throwing that performance in, because I think someone, certainly his Matip still does look a little twitchy, a little ropey in there. First and foremost, someone's going to have to play next to Van Dijk when he's back fully fit sooner rather than later. It's a performance he's needed. I think he shows genuine composure. I think he has hard lines at Brighton. I think he plays really well for 80. And then the last 10 after Fabinho comes on and it all goes to bits in the FA Cup, it's difficult for him. It's a 90-minute performance, as it was from a few of them there. Gomez puts the 90-minute performance in. I think he's very impressive.
I thought it was great. You could certainly argue. I think I'd give man of the match to probably by Cesic, but I don't think Gomez is that far away in terms of the players you'd look to who really stood out. And I think I've been a little bit worried about him, to be honest. And I've always been a massive Joe Gomez fan. I think in those seasons where he's looked incredible, really, 18, 19 and 19, 20, he was playing at a level that I thought he's one of the best in Europe in terms of a young player. He was doing that well. And I know some people might disagree. And I think because of what's happened since, it's easy to forget just how good he was at times. On the cover, loads of pace, sniffed out danger really, really well. And I think a lot of that seems to have disappeared and left his game. And you are wondering whether the injuries have just taken the toll a little bit, and will he ever get back to that level? And we still don't know, because he's got to demonstrate this consistently now over a number of games. But the signs, there are signs. We were talking before the game last night, you know, Liverpool have given him a contract, so they obviously still see, unless they're trying to protect value, they obviously still see that there's a player in there. And you just hope he can go on a bit of a journey now where he is able to deliver those kind of performances. Because I just thought he was great from start to finish. And you can say, well, they didn't have much threat, but whenever it was going up to him, he was front foot, really aggressive. But in terms of on the ball stuff as well, I thought he was good. Yeah, it goes out of play once or twice, but he was braver with it. He was punching it into midfield. And I thought it was just a really, really good performance from him.
The term you use there, aggressive, sometimes I've watched him and I've just thought he's not quite aggressive enough. He doesn't show the aggression or sometimes he's not quite sharp enough or hungry enough. But then the game against City, when he had a real clear, you know, a clear plan, a clear task, sorry, that's the word I was looking for. You know, he knew what he had to do that day with the threat of Haaland, and he was really rose to the challenge. And then there's been other games where, you know, against Matoma, he's not close enough to him for me. And then there's been games where you've almost seen him overcompensate, where he's trying to be almost too, almost like it's not natural for him. Remember the West Ham game where he gives away the rash penalty, where I think it's a mental thing with him, it seems to me. And obviously having Virgil alongside him would help massively, but he has got a set of gifts that few centre-halves, you know, can call upon. His lightning pace is one of them, his recovery pace. He hasn't really lost that for all the injuries he's had. He doesn't seem that he's still quick as he ever was, it seems, in my mind. It just seems to me sometimes it's his approach and his approach for every game and maintaining that, as you say, consistently game after game. But with the task Madrid coming up, with, you know, Vinicius and the pace that they have, I think you want to get him in there alongside Virgil. You want him supporting Trent, providing that assistance, because that's the area they're going to target. For me, we've obviously given him the big new contract. We've shown the faith in him. We've shown that we want him to be here and be a part of things. And I think we've got to just back him and play him into form. And with Konate's injury woes, he's going to get that opportunity, hopefully, to get, you know, a run of games and show us the level that he can hit.
Sometimes as well, you don't know what's going on in the player's mind. So because he's had so many injuries, he could be constantly thinking, well, I don't want to overstretch here. I don't want to go. I want to try and almost play in a reserved manner. So he's not doing too much because he wants to keep his place and stay in the team. He's gone through an incredible amount of misfortune and bad luck where he's missed so much football. But you just hope he can kind of maintain the level we saw last night. Because I was genuinely starting to think that we might have to let him go and his future might... And that hurts me to say that, because I've raved over him on a number of shows. I've always been a huge fan, and I know some people maybe haven't, but I always thought he was a really top centre-half, but it was starting to get to the point where you're thinking, if Liverpool aren't going to be doing business, they're going to have to be looking at centre-half, and he still might have to, because I think, you know, Joel Matip's maybe over the kind of, you know, the wrong side now of 30, certainly, and maybe his performances are kind of, you know, dropping down a level or two. But it was really important that we saw a really, really good Joe Gomez performance last night.
I think it is important to caveat all this with he'll never have an easier afternoon. And I think, you know, they've got a championship striker up front, effectively, is what he is. And no forward desire from a midfield at all. And so in terms of, you know, defending, he needs to do, you know, the next two games he's going to have a hell of a lot more to do, I think. So that'll be the real test. Obviously, if he gets picked, you know, we might go with Matip. You know, it was great to see Virgil back on the bench. You know, imagine he comes in for Newcastle with their eye on, you know, them playing against Madrid. So who he picks alongside, we'll wait and see. So I think it is important to reflect that, you know, you was listing there, Neil, some of the players who he struggled against. You know, Everton have got no one in that league, you know, to sort of threaten him. So, you know, players, you know, of that ilk, you know, might have troubled him yesterday. But that said, you can only play against who you're up against to keep a clean sheet. I was pleased that they celebrated it together at full time. I don't know if people noticed they went to each other and high fived and hugged and embraced, and I like that from defenders. I like this idea. It's, you know, a centre half, you know, it needs to be a partnership, doesn't it? Whether you've played together three times, I think it's only the fourth time they played together, isn't it? I think, I'm sure I read it was the third time they played together against Wolves. So, you know, they're a new partnership, if you like, although they've both been at the club a long time. But whether you play together four times or 400 times, it needs to be a partnership. And, you know, me and you are going to sort this, and we're going to keep a clean sheet, and they're not scoring today. And they seem to have that attitude. You know, yeah, the work on the ball is good, particularly Matip. I thought he was bringing it out really well last night. But you know, when it comes down to it, they're there to defend. And listen, I can, you know, as much as they're toothless up front, they get the clean sheets, and that is the main thing.
But again, back to the manager getting credit. There was a lot of shouts for Nat Phillips.
Yeah,
going
I said that game.
And for me, it was never a thing. I think you always talk about a redemption story, and I think the manager would have been keen to allow those players haven't played so poorly at times to go again and just obviously look to find a little bit of form. And I didn't really see the sense in a Nat Phillips conversation, other than he's great in the air and he may be able to defend set pieces. But if that's where we are, we're going to be bringing people in as defend set pieces, then we are a million miles away from where we need to be. So I was glad he went with the two. And John's right, and I said it before, you know, the proof's in the pudding. He's got to go on a run now, these two. And Virgil might be back, but they might have to look after him a little bit, you know, with the hamstring injury and all that. So
tonight, just look after him in general.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of the reason why Gomez and Matip have never played together is because Virgil played every game.
Yeah.
And there's an argument now for Virgil, not just for the rest of this season, but for the rest of the time he's hopefully Liverpool's best centre back. He's used a teeny, not loads more sparingly, Ian, but a teeny bit more sparingly to look after him.
But what we're saying about all these players, where we're saying like not quite getting tight enough, leaving a lazy leg out, not being aggressive enough, you could probably point the finger and level out at all of them. And I said at the start of the show, Liverpool set the tone in a very bad way at the start of the season, where they were just a million miles off where they needed to be. And it was very much standoffish and giving that man an extra yard and stuff. All the things that we've not really associated with a Liverpool Jurgen Klopp team. So I think all of those things are fine and fair when you talk about a Matip and Gomez in terms of the performances they've been delivering, but it's the same for a lot of them as well in midfield. And I thought last night, you know, the likes of Fabinho, again, it wasn't perfect, but it was far better than what we've seen.
That's what it boils down to me, is the mentality, the approach being right. I mean, we talk about Gomez won't have an easier task than he had last night. Gomez won't have an easier job than he did against, you know, that young lad. You won't get a harder one than against Haaland. And, you know, you know, that was his best performance of the season against Haaland. Ivan Toney, perhaps. I'm not sure, let's see how Gomez gets on against him. But, you know, even Saliba wasn't quite the man we thought he was. But Gomez has shown that he can compete and perform at the very highest level. So for me, the whole team, it's the approach and it's the focus, and it's them being on it right from the first whistle.
On that, I thought both fullbacks looked like they enjoyed themselves, Neil, in every single way. I think in the end, Robertson's having the best night of his life. effectively, I think it's a life goal to get booked for laughing at an Everton player. Laughing aggressively at an Everton player. Yellow card. No problem. We're all booked.
I've never seen that in the laws of the game. Laughing outlawed.
Laughing is outlawed, but I'm fine with it. I'm fine with every aspect of it. I think both of them, in a way that sometimes they haven't genuinely, like they enjoyed the business, and that's what you want from them. They sort of are the sort of footballers who need to look like they're having a good time.
Yeah, well, I talk about our leadership that we showed. We saw that from Robertson early on. I thought he was fantastic. He's brilliant for his part in the second goal. He does have such dynamism. He gives us something different.
It's genuinely still underrated how fast he is. He's so quick when he gets going, and he can carry it so quick as well.
Yeah, his physical gifts are just something else, aren't they? And when you've got him herring down with Nunes alongside him, then you're a good luck to you. But Trent, I thought he had a slow start. There was a few poor touches a few times. I heard people, you know, sort of groans and moans early on in the game, but then he found his range. I think they've taken the assist off him for the second goal because it takes a pretty big deflection on the way. But he's putting it into the right area. And again, I thought in the first half as well, is it Trent who whips over the ball for when Nunes tries the bicycle kick and sort of puts it over onto Gakpo's head as well. So yeah, Trent grew into the game. As I say, I do think that perhaps they could have found a route back into the game if Davis had done better with the header. I think still Trent, you know, he needs to maintain that concentration. But I was just pleased to see the fullbacks combining again. I always think when Robertson's finding Trent and Trent is finding Robertson, then you know that something's going right for Liverpool. The directness all night, really, that approach, it seemed much more like the Liverpool of old. Just how keen we were to quickly release it to the wings, to quickly play it forward. And, you know, Thiago has so many gifts, but he does slow the game down for us. And it seemed like yesterday there was an element of us back to basics in terms of we get it and we move.
What I think helps with that is them, Neil, because one of the, and I was pleased to see it, because one of the things about them is they'll give you the ball back. But give it, the way Dyche sets up, he'll give you the ball back, and that's fine. And I think there was, I think it's easier to have a bit of an attitude of, well, you know what, we'll take more risks off the basis that they're just going to give us it back in a minute. They're going to do that over and over. And I think that I think that really both helped the approach. I think it helped sort of the extent to which I think, in hindsight, the manager was facing 18th in the league, managed by Sean Dyche, where he knows it. He's played against his teams 10 times. Yeah. He knows he's just going to want to give us the ball back so we can try some more stuff, boys. Be more direct. Take a few more, in inverted commas, risks. Because as long as your shape's right, you're going to get it back in a minute.
Yeah, and aside from the defeat in an empty ground, Jürgen's worked Dyche out. I mean, we'd worked Burnley out, hadn't we? We'd solved that puzzle time and time again. We found a way to get results against them at Anfield and in the end at Turf Moor as well. So, yeah, there is definitely an element of that. Gakpo was interviewed afterwards, and Neville said to him, what's the biggest difference, you know, here in the Premier League? And he said, well, nobody wants the ball. in as many words. Well, no, I think he said the possession. He said there's a lot less possession, a lot less build-up play. And certainly last night, I mean, that was clear, wasn't it, all the way through?
Jota and Firmino both get on. Ian, Virgil's on the bench. Been saying for a few weeks, I feel as though, and it's not cool, the manager's been playing a bit of a waiting game, not just for the idea of these players getting back, but sort of, I think in his own mind, he's been thinking, we've just got to get through this slog period here where, you know, I've got a few of them underperforming, I need to sort that out. It's one win, so I want to be absolutely crystal clear, it's solely one win. But seeing those players come on off the back of the relatively comfortable 2-0 made me feel a little bit like maybe there's a bit of a tide turning. I don't think Liverpool's problems are over, far from it. But for the first time, I began to go, you know what, there could be some light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you can definitely have a conversation about, in terms of Liverpool's first choice team, and I know we've just spent some time there bigging up Joe Gomez and Mata, but for me, the player without the first choice centre-halves, you know, it would be Konate and Virgil if Liverpool were going into a European Cup final. They'd be the two that you'd want to see starting. So I think the signs are positive because all of a sudden you've got Jota coming back in. Diaz, you know, we mentioned Thiago before. I think, again, he'd probably be in a lot of people's starting 11s. And listen, he might be out for 3 or 4 weeks now. But those ones we've mentioned there, suddenly to have Firmino on the bench as well. And one or two might take a little bit of time. I think, you know, Jota has been out for a long time. You've got to be, you know, aware of that. He probably won't be ready to start games just yet. I think you see some rustiness last night when he comes on and stuff. But having him back, having Luis Diaz on the road to recovery as well, it's a massive boost. Because I think, you know, we can talk about criticism for the manager, and as we said before, he deserves some of that levelled on him, and he'll take that on the chin, I'm sure. But some of the things that have been going on in certain games, he must be kind of just looking and thinking, how the fuck's this happened here? There's basic mistakes that have been going on. And it's not just one or two players, it's been right across the team. So whilst we can point fingers and say, well, he could have played this player, he could have slightly tweaked it here, he's playing that guy in a position that's maybe not his favourite position, but there's just been so many basic errors. And I think last night, the best thing about the performance was that wasn't really there. And if it was there, there was a lot of just backing your mate up. And there's been so many times this season where, again, back to the basic things, that's not been happening.
Yeah.
But it was very much happening last night. You've got a real sense of, I'm going to back my mate up. And if he does get past them, then I'll make sure I'm there, which is really good to see.
So the thing with an injury crisis, the longer it goes on, the more you hear people saying, I'm sick of hearing about the injuries. Well, yeah, we know about the injuries. Oh, yeah, all right, yeah, the injuries. And you're losing games and people are, like, tossing their eyes. But it doesn't make it any less a valid factor that loads of your best players aren't on the football pitch. So I think we do have to cut him some slack. As you say, he's rightly come in for valid criticism, but also the fact remains that he's got 4 or 5 elite footballers who he hasn't been able to call upon. And if they were fit and available, then we'd be higher up the table and we wouldn't be in the position we are.
Being able to call upon people, John, all of a sudden is significant. He's got Newcastle, Madrid, Palace, Wolves, United across the next little run of fixtures where, you know, midweek games in there. He does need to be able to rotate both from the outset, but also from the bench. And I do agree with Ian's point around Jota, for instance. I think we might see a lot of Jota getting 20, a lot of Jota getting 30 through this little run before we finally see him start a game. But he will need to both have rotation in his selection and also have a bench he can call upon to get results in those 5 games, which we do need.
Yeah, 100%. And I think being able to bring lads on with real quality is something that we've missed. You know, in the past, the last sort of few weeks, really, you know, there's times where you're looking at the bench and thinking, it's on the lads on the pitch to win it, really. You know, there's lads who can come on and give people a rest, but that's about it, really. There's not someone who can come on and win a game for you or change a game or we'll even really see much out, really. And
Keita's been our most attacking sub, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And so and you think we'll throw Milner on, do you know what I mean? And that's been about it, really. You know, maybe the young lad can do something mad, but now there's real quality there. There's Champions League level quality, you know, bringing on. And I agree with you, Neil. I don't think Jota's starting anytime soon, but that's fine, you know, because he's just someone who can come on, play it against defences who are tiring a bit and showing his quality and his eye for the goal, you know, is going to be such an asset for us over the next few games. So, yeah, delighted in particular. He got a really nice ovation when he came on as well, which was, you know, just shows how highly everyone thinks of him. Really, you know, you struggle to hear anyone say a bad word about Jota because, you know, what a signing he's been. And, yeah, really crucial, I think, over the next few weeks and hopefully for the rest of the season.
He's our fifth highest scorer under Klopp.
Is that right?
Jota already. Well, I think Salah, Mane, Firmino, Coutinho, which is staggering considering how long since he's played here. Coutinho's fourth, Jota's fifth. He really, you know, he's a proven goal scorer. You've got two great songs now.
He also scores so many goals at 0-0 and 1-1. Many goals at 0-0.
Yeah. He has so many games where he's quiet
and then
scores a header, you know, out of nothing from a set piece. He gives us so much. Can we talk about the Milner cameo briefly?
If you want to.
Is it Milner who wins that great tackle on the halfway line where they're convinced it's a foul?
Yes.
And he absolutely smashes into it.
Yes.
And then it looks like Milner might score the third.
Why doesn't he just shoot?
At that
shoot,
point,
James,
I'm thinking,
please shoot.
This is going to be one of the all-time great derby cameos. If Milner bags here, then I'd still be out now. There's nowhere I'd be sat around this table right now if Milner had bagged then. It was almost the greatest. To make up for the maddest derby cameo of all time at Goodison.
Nothing would make up for that.
No, it is. I was so much willing him on just to take it. And normally I'm like, you know, I'm a misery guts about this. But I was thinking it would be brilliant if he just drills this bottom corner. Yeah. If he just drills this bottom corner, it would have been... There would have been pandemonium, I think, if he'd have done that. It would have been absolutely perfect. What would he have done? Yeah. Is a key question. I think he might just have ran directly into our end at the Anfield Road and just got off. That would have been the appropriate response for that. Just last little thing, Neil, I'll go to you first on it, just the wider picture. You know, it's a game week, to use that language, where Newcastle, Spurs, Brighton and Chelsea have all dropped points. And Newcastle have been dropping points. It's hard to put the weekend coming up into perspective, I think. I don't think Newcastle are that far away from feeling like a side who were unbeaten in however many, suddenly flipping to a side where everyone's going, it's only one win in eight, it's only one win in nine. You know, it's not just Newcastle, though. As I say, Spurs dropping points, Brighton dropping points, Chelsea dropping points. It's been a while since a weekend felt very emphatically like it's gone our way before we even look at the bottom of the table.
I didn't want to talk about it all weekend. These results, as you say, they kept going away, and I just thought, well, I'll keep that in my back pocket.
What about the Reds, eh?
With Newcastle, they've drawn four out of the last five, I think it is. And we've seen in previous seasons, certainly Jürgen's early seasons, how testing that doubleheader, the League Cup semi-finals are, what they take out of a squad. You know, the games are coming thick and fast. They've obviously got this massive game coming up at Wembley, their first cup final in 20 years, chance to win their first trophy in 50 years or whatever it is. That's got to be, you know, on the back of their minds. Manchester United, similarly, have got games coming thick and fast. Neither of them have got great squads. I think they've both got good first 11s and both of their managers have done really well to eke out what they have from them so far this season.
To be fair to managers and players, everyone's fighting of United and the two Uniteds, Newcastle and Manchester. Everyone's fighting, everyone's battling. Structure's right, fitness is right. You know, you've got to praise them for that, but simultaneously whilst then saying, but neither are playing great, if we're honest.
No, and Rashford and his unbelievable run of form has been carrying United over the line, but they're starting to have a few absences. Obviously, Casemiro's picked up a suspension. I read that Sabitzer, who's come in, is suspended for their Europa League games with Barcelona. I don't think you can understate how big that is, you know, a two-legged tie with Barcelona in the form
huge,
they are.
Yeah.
And the size of the clubs and the history as well. Yeah. And as I say, with this League Cup final date looming as well. So if ever there was a time for the Reds to go on a little run, this is it.
Little run, fancy one?
Yeah, I think...
Who doesn't?
Yeah, absolutely. When I spoke before about if I could choose a player to score, I would have chosen Gapco. I think second on the list would have been Mohamed Salah. And I think it was really important that we got him back amongst the goals. And I think his performance actually in general was just so much better. He was so much more involved. Thought he was really good at times. He kept them really.
I felt
busy.
He was happy with what was behind him and Henderson and Trent. Yeah, like, I know how this works.
That right hand side suddenly made sense, didn't it? And I think Salah keeps them busy and honest all night. And I think just him getting back amongst the goals was really important. And he does great for the goal, by the way, because he talks about it in his post match, just how quick Nunes is, and just to keep up with him. And you do think, you know, similar to Jordan Pickford, you think it's going to Gakpo, but, you know, I'm in block 207, so I can think that. You know, I'm not playing in goal for Everton. So, but he does amazing to get to it. And
his foot's really high, isn't it? Salah's foot's really high when he connects with the ball.
Yeah, he does amazing to get to it. And I think you want to see him now go on a bit of a run, and there's no better time now, because I think Liverpool can go into that Newcastle game and it'll be a tough night, and Saturday night, and they'll be up for it, all that kind of stuff. But they have got that League Cup final. They are missing one or two key players. They wouldn't be human if they weren't thinking about the first trophy, and God knows how long that's going to take priority for some of them. It will be at the forefront of their mind, so it's probably not a bad time to go there.
Yeah, I think for both of them, it is worth pointing out that it's a lot of games, and, you know, we saw how that took its toll on us last season, albeit, you know, a little bit delayed. You know, I did the Coach Home subscriber audio show. I spoke to Ant Shaw, and he was saying,
United, Man United.
Yeah. He was speaking to Ant Shaw, you know, about Man United, and said he was looking forward to the Barcelona game, but he said, if we go through, I'm not sure when we're going to play all these games. You know, there's an extra round.
Yeah.
They've got done the Champions League, so if they get to the final, it's 8 games just to sort of get there early. So, you know, he thinks they might have to play Tuesday, Thursday at some point, because he's just sort of looking at it and thinking, like, you know, when else are we going to, you know, fit these in? And so there is a lot of games.
Still in the FA Cup as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they're still in the FA Cup. And so, you know, it is going to sort of take its toll. He's trying to rotate. He obviously drops the two centre-halves, rests the two centre-halves and still gets a clean sheet. But they haven't got that quality everywhere to be able to do that. Like Neil says, without Casemiro, they look a sort of a level below. And Newcastle, similar, you know, drawing a lot of games at the moment. You know, we're only really, you know, noticing now because we finally took advantage. We've not been, but that is what it's about for us. It's if these teams are, you know, struggling a little bit or a little bit inconsistent or dropping points, which teams will do.
Because that's one of the reasons why they're coming third and fourth, they're not coming first and second.
Exactly. And teams will do, then we just need to take advantage of it. And we haven't so far this season. And we can't get carried away by, you know, a 2-0 against a poor team. But, you know, you're just willing it. You're just willing it because it feels like, you know, it is there. The prize is there. The redemption, to use that word again, sort of, you know, is there. If they can get their act together.
If they can get their act together, redemption is possible. It's been a pleasure. The Anfield Wrap in association with Access Sport Colleges this week. Do check out, as I said at the top, if you know anyone who would be interested in any way, shape or form. It's been John Gibbons, it's been Neil Docking, Ian Ryan, Andy Keaton producing our show, Rook on the video-based ones and twos all the way over there in the corner. We're all happy. There is an if around absolutely everything, but there's nothing wrong with an if, even if you have only just beaten the 17th or 18th best team in the league. Sports Social Podcast Network.